This evening we're going to continue with our discussion on what generation is this. You know, we began to ask the question last Sunday, what generation is this? Let's just, as a small refresher, let's go to Hebrews chapter 3, from verse 7 to 19. You have to take that one in bits. Hebrews chapter 3, from verse 7 to 19. That's where we said, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err where? In their hearts, and they have not known my ways." Such was the situation of that generation, right? And we ask, what is this generation? So let us very quickly define generation, which we didn't do last week. Because basically what we tried to do was to introduce the subject. So let's define generation. A generation is a group of people living in a time frame in history. A group of people living in a time frame in history. That would be a general description. For example, when we look at the world today, we can talk of a generation of people who live in this time. So a group of people living in a time frame in history. So when we talk of that generation, we are speaking of what now? A group of people, right? Who live in that time. Now what generation are we talking about here now? We're talking about a generation that left Egypt and were on their way to the promised land. That never entered the promised land. That's the reason we're talking about. Right? Now, but if we use that term, we'll be speaking about everybody. But we don't want it everybody. It was those from the age of 20 and above that didn't enter. It was that generation that God was angry with. They provoked God to anger. And they angered him so much that in spite of all that God had done for them, they just could not believe God because they erred in their hearts. Now, when we look at that generation, as we looked at Hebrews chapter 3, which was where we spent quite a bit of time, we saw a warning to us in reading from verse 12. Or let me read 11 to complete what God said of that generation. Said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my house." The rest of God, we looked at last week, is when a man has ceased from doing his own work and now doing God's work. That's when you enter into rest. The reason why there's so much unrest and turmoil in our lives is because we are still doing our own work. We have not yet done the work of God. The day you begin to do the work of God, you will enter into rest. No matter how tired and weary you may be, mentally, spiritually, you'll be active. Spiritually, you'll be alive. And so in verse 12, take 12 and 13, 12 and 13, that's 12 and 13. And then now says, "Take heed, brethren." Which brethren is he talking about now? The generation of. Now, the reason why I'm doing this, I want us to understand what we talk about. What generation is this? I am not discussing about the unbelievers. Because the generation that God was angry with was not the generation of unbelievers. It wasn't the Gentiles. It was the generation of his own people who were in the wilderness and did not believe him. Today's believer in this world is in the wilderness. This world is our wilderness. We were brought out from sin, right? And brought into a wilderness. This is the wilderness of life that we find ourselves in. And we are on the way to where? A promised land. Where's the promised land now? It's in heaven. It's not here on earth. So we find this generation, that generation rather, we're in the wilderness with God. Because God led them. In fact, in their own time, they saw physically the pillar of fire and the cloud following them, directing them, sometimes going ahead of them, sometimes being behind them, at night surrounding them with light and warmth in a cool desert land. Where they anoint God. So they are not warned by the Holy Spirit this generation. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of what? The Bible considers that evil. A number of times we believe what we want to believe and disbelieve what we want to disbelieve. It is a choice we always make. Nobody compels you to do that. It's a choice to make. You have a choice to believe God, you have a choice not to believe God. I heard the story of a man who crossed the Grand Canyon from Canada to America with a wheelbarrow. And things loaded inside the wheelbarrow, maybe a piece or something, and on the wire, and it crossed. People watched, that was in the 20s, I think, I'm not sure. I think it was early 20th century or so. And it crossed, walking with the wheelbarrow to the American. When it got to America, they clapped. And the one guy who clapped the loudest. And he asked the guy, "Do you believe that I can put you on this wheelbarrow and take you across?" The guy said, "Yes, I believe." Now sitting, there's nothing. Do you understand faith now? Yeah. Many of us leave until we have to enter the good one. That is why we talk of the evil heart. It is easy to mouth faith until you have to believe by faith. Believers, whatever you experience in life requires faith. If indeed you are a child of God and you are in this wilderness, it is by faith. The people of Israel in that time could not live with God by faith. That was their singular problem. That's why he wanted, don't be like them, so that an evil heart lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When there's unbelief in your heart, you need to believe. It affects you. You have options. But when you believe God, there's no plan B. All you have to do is plan B. As we also see that the Lord has plan B's, and C's and D's, and E's and F's. This one doesn't work, I'm putting there, this one doesn't work. You have it. And you won't have a plan B. That's what stopped Israel, that generation, from entering the country. Because God was angry with them. The Bible tells us that they fell everywhere in their hearts. The issue was a heart matter. It was a heart matter. Unbelief makes us to depart from the living God and turn to something else. He says, but exhort one another, how long will it be? And remember, we mentioned this generation, the generation of social media. What do we do with social media? We threaten. We send something and then we now put fear in people and tell them to make sure that they send it around. Otherwise, something terrible will happen to them. We want them to be alive by fear. And sadly, what we're only asking them to send around is not even anything to edify the soul. Then there's another group that says, this day, I don't know whether it is the pastors themselves, they bring some big pastors, and I said, so as a person said this, if you believe me, say amen. You see, the pastor and one people, amen, amen, amen. That is what we do in this generation. And I've discovered some of those messages. They said, if you say amen to this, you become a billionaire. How is that the word of God? How is that the word of God? Then it means that I'm going to be saying amen every day. He's the richest black man in the world. According to our theology, he must be doing something right that we are not doing. That is why today the Levites have left the temple. What are they doing now? They are going to be healed. Looking for farm produce. Part of the problem is that those who should be given to the Levites for their upkeep are not doing this. They're not playing their role. Why? We're going to see some of those things. I believe God will help us. So we need to exhort one another daily. Exhort one another in your Facebook. Exhort one another here. Make sure that what you are sending is an exhortation, is an encouragement, is edifying. Make it a point of duty. Don't just rush to say something. Sit down, pray, think deeply. Meditate on what you're about to say. Even pray about it. That what I'm sending out is going to touch people's lives. Most of us, we think like Facebook, where you have take-offs, you have friends, and so on and so forth. You want to make sure that what you are keen in there, you let it happen. Every day. If you don't have a word of exhortation, you don't have to send anything. But if you must send, then let it be an exhortation. Enough of the jokes and all the funny stuff. Oh, sometimes it's good to have a good laugh. Don't get me wrong. But there must also be dignifying. That's some sincere things that people pass on. So let them exhort one another daily. Daily, say every day. Why is this called what? Let any of you be what? Harden. Look, sin has a way of hardening your heart. One day, one second of sin, if there's no exhortation to uproot it, you'll stay there and harden your heart. The next time you discover that you have pulled your heart. That was the exhortation of them. Now, why are we being exhorted like this? It is because that generation and this generation can have the same problems. The reason why history keeps repeating itself is because people never learn from this. The Old Testament is the history of a people of God, the nation, physical nation of Israel. However, the Gentiles haven't been brought into the kingdom of God. We now form the nation of God's Israel today. It's no longer the physical Israel, but a spiritual Israel. And God is saying, there was a generation like you that I once brought out of Egypt and was taking them to the land of promise. And while in the wilderness, they exhibited such unbelief, such departing from me, that I got so angry and wiped out an entire generation in the wilderness. See? If they are going to emulate anybody, it is this truth that we must emulate. Now, I want us to have a brief discussion before we continue. Generations are of the same, under the same God, right? Of the same nation. One, though one's physical, the other one's spiritual. We can surmise that if we live in their time, we will experience what they experience, right? In the same way, we can surmise that if they live in our time, they will probably experience what we experience, right? Good. So let's bring that generation into this time in this year. And I want some comments from you. But I'm going to paint the picture. So I want you to picture that generation. Generation of the Joshuas, the Calebs, Moses, Aaron, Hur, Abihu, Nadab, what's the other fellow? Give me some of those names, Tabulia. Give me the names from that time, from that generation. Those are the people who do this. Phineas. I've mentioned Caleb already. Give me some names now. Miriam, thank you very much, man. Miriam. I've mentioned Aaron. Mentioned Moses. One of those rebels. I've mentioned those ones. They are those three rebels. Korah. Dathan and Abiram. That's it. So look at that generation. Right? Bring them into this world, into our time. Because we are not able to understand how to be. So yes, we will be able to understand how they will be there, right? So they are coming to our generation. They are in their life. They are in the wilderness of life. Like they have Facebook. They have Twitter, they have chat on and so on and so forth. Who are the men? So you start with me. What do you think will be tweeting or Facebooking to one another? Or what's happening? Give me an example. What will happen? They are now living in this generation. Okay, you know what? You are Abira. You are Peter. Since you want that, you are Miriam.
Huh?
Yes. You are one of Zerubbabel's daughters. So, give us, what do you think will be Facebooking? What do you think will be? What do you think will be tweeting? And they have to say 140 words a day.
and they're on a journey to heaven, what do you think they'll be thinking about? What do you think they should be facing? What do you think they will be in this picture? Use the mind to tell us
about their experience.
Yes, so give us an example, like you want to tweet to Miriam, you want to tweet to one of the sisters in the Lord, Edith is one of the sisters in the Lord. You want to send a
like Finihad now.
Whatever, tweet something.
I imagine, I saw that they are experiencing what we are suffering. I killed them.
You want to be a hero? Give to somebody else.
Thank you very
much.
Definitely, they cannot be outside the reflection of their character.
So, that's a special thing.
So, for Korah, his tweet was basically on rebellion.
Good.
He would like to raise a group that will join him.
Thank you very much. Now, that's somebody who has that understands what we're talking about. Yes, ma'am.
Second generation.
Yes.
I just went to the battleground and I saw all these beautiful clothes and then
and we take a selfie.
I was told not to take anything, but God helped me, I must take.
Thank
so, you. So, you better look for something good and collect.
Thank you.
We don't know tomorrow.
Yeah.
Good.
What are the things you'll be Facebooking, tweeting, Instagramming, and so on and so forth?
Yes.
Oh yeah, now go ahead,
okay. Actually, it is my brother
Moses.
He's probably seeing himself as if he's your cow.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, beautiful.
And then
it is our brother taking somehow. It's like we push him out of this thing.
Beautiful, oh yeah. Give to which one is that one? Apora. Or maybe I mentioned for us. Just give us, just tweet something, is you can imagine the kind of messages they were Facebooking back and forth. Not one was encouraging anyone to seek God. It was all about themselves. For example, I can imagine one of those who was tweeting and saying, brother, Moses has gone, I don't know what kind of leader we have. He will just go. What did he do? 14 days we haven't seen him back. I've been counting 38 days since then. What is he doing? And Aaron is just lying around there now. Brethren, we need to get Aaron up. It's time to hear the message we need to hear. Somebody says you should go higher. Like. You see, when the thing comes, you say 1,000 or something in my own case, you see like 500,000 likes, then a few comments. We need to ask him to give his God that he saw. We also want to see God. Say yes. Then share. So hashtag up error. Get us another one. You understand?
Yes.
That's what we are doing. That's the generation. Can I ask a question now that we have seen what Adonai would have done in our time? Let's transpose it now. If we were there, with what we have been doing now, would we be like them? I'm asking a question now. Would we be like them?
Yes.
It was. We will be worse, thank you. That is why this warning is crucial. The reason why, what we talk about, what generation is this? We cannot divorce this generation from that generation is because they said, Bible says they err, they do always err in their hearts. And what we know about that generation is that when we summarize it, they were acting and living well in the flesh. That's why those things were happening.
As long as you and I walk and live in the flesh, we are going to be like them. Mm. Which is why God is warning us. He talks about any of you being beheaded through the what? Deceitfulness of what? You know, we say that, he said that we shouldn't have fun in him. And we don't know how deceptive sin is. Sin doesn't look up, I'll show you. Second is about to tell you, bow to him, all that we know. He said, bow to that chair, that chair will sin. He said, I'll never tell you. He said, I will tell you how money, how you make money in the sentence. And how you should pursue after money to the detriment of sin. Remember what God told Haggai to tell the children of Israel when they return. That was another generation. But let us talk about Israel. They didn't do the same thing. Is this the time for you to be building your sin houses? Building your businesses? Building your careers? Building your marriages? Building your homes? When the house of God lieth waste. This is the same. It is a generation with a nature. The human nature. And as long as that generation has that human nature, it will continue to behave like that generation. Let me read Stephen's, just a little portion of Stephen's sermon. Acts chapter 7, verse 51 to 54. Acts 7, 51 to 54. This is Stephen speaking to his own generation, who were centuries after that generation that God was angry with. This generation had entered into the land. They lived in the land. In fact, the generation we're talking about, the many other generations that gone out of exile, returned, they came back to exile and returned all on until this time. What did he say to them? Ye thick-necked and what? And what? Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As what? As your father did. In that generation, to this generation, and that generation. So the generation that erred in their heart gave back to a generation that is stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear. He says, ye do always, not sometimes, always. Every time the Holy Spirit is saying something, what do you receive from these people? Resistance. Resistance. They will drag. You can't see them promptly do anything. They will hold on to people, resist. When they do it at their own leisure. By which time the Holy Spirit has moved on, then they do it anyway. Now, and then after they've done it, they say, I am God, catch me now. Because I've done this. At that time. That's that generation. He says, as your fathers did, so do ye. This sermon can be preached to him and his hands. What generation is this? A stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ear generation. What generation is this? A generation that always what resists. When we build a church, it is the church we want, not the church he wants. When we write music, it is the music we like to sing, not the one he wants to sing. I wonder what the world has to do with giving applause to people who say they are gospel artists. And can you understand what we sing? Then you have people pursuing by awards. What I'm saying is, don't affect anyone of us, we don't want to let them belong to you. What are they going to do? Who do we sing to? Please let me ask a question. Who do we sing to? So why do we go and sing to a people? Our worship is unto God, it's not unto men. So how can a man assess the worship of a believer? How can an unbeliever be the one assessing the music that we sing to our God? If that God is God, does he know what that God stands for? Does he know what that God desires? The man who is praying for that God doesn't even understand that God. Why would he subject something that is for that God to be open to? And you know what they give them as a word? An idol. And a check in the bank. And then they promise to produce more records. Sometimes they tell them, the Jesus is too much. So be done. Many of the so-called first classes, they started in church. And they graduated. I use that word in quotes. From gospel to hip hop. That's the graduation. In teaching religion. The same with us. Many of us started preaching. We have now regenerated to become motivational speakers. And we are here. There's no difference. We are hearing that because nobody gives a word for preaching in the church. And we need a word. Just go to our Twitter accounts. So as a president, a world motivational speaker. I'm not going to hear anyone. But we put their word out. We are selling ourselves. We can no longer wait for God. But we sell ourselves. What generation is this? He says, which of the prophets have got your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. If they were listening, they would have heeded what the prophet said. What the prophet said. But what happened? Their fathers did what? Killed the prophets. What did they do? They built the tombs of the prophets. So we are trying to honor them. We'll see what Jesus said about that generation. He called them an evil generation. He says, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? I remember telling my wife some time back, I said, in the National Health Center, we have heard the word. In fact, as I was preparing to return, I didn't know my son was going to be this early. I began to listen to some 2009 I said, what? When we said this in 2009, many people were not yet there. Please, nobody was there. I was there, David was there. Said some of these things in 2009. We still see that problem today. That's one of the problems.
Yes.
Please do not say, tone down before the time of the beginning of the reading. You have to check it. What does the Bible say? When they heard these things, what did they do? Read it now. When they heard these things, and what happened? You know the rest of the story. They killed him. Do you know that there were some people who heard some things? They also were caught to the hands. But you know the outcome was different. What was the outcome? They said, men and brethren, what must we do? That generation, those people who said what must we do, they were not stiff men, they were not circumcised. These ones, and who do you think was coming to hear? These were the Pharisees. These were so-called interpreters. The ones who did not have skin tech and everything, those were the ordinary men and women who just wanted God. And never knew that they would find God that easy. Luke chapter 11. We're going to read a very lengthy passage. From verse 14 to 54. Luke chapter 11 from verse 14 to 54. Verse 14. And he, that is Jesus, was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. But some of them said, he casted out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. Beelzebub is actually regarded to be a god of flies. He's a very filthy god. Any god that can bring flies is a very filthy god. But we know we have flies everywhere and what they eat. Verse 16, and others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Verse 17, but he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is what? Brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. We are having problems in the church. Because church is fighting against church. There is vision in God. That's why the power of God is in God. The power of God has not changed. It's still the same power. But it cannot be active, cannot be effective. In the generation where church is fighting against church, where there's no unity of purpose. And when you even go to a church, one local assembly, the fighting inside there is something else. So the church on its own has been defeated. Not by Satan, but by who? By themselves. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail. Satan cannot prevail against it. The church reveals it itself.
The external one, don't worry, God will deal with that.
The one of the internal. But they say, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Satan is not the king. It's not the king. So when he sees the children of God fighting against themselves, he says, relax, encourage them to fight them. Then please don't think that God, if you interfere, you will find a new enemy in me and face me. So when he sees division in the church, he says, he tells his soldiers to relax. All you need to do is make sure that the division remains. So encourage those who are rebelling. Encourage those who have a vision other than God's vision. Give them more vision. So they sleep at night and dream dreams and say, God told us to do this, and they do the wrong things. Understand? He can now divert his attention to those churches where there is unity and see how to dismantle them. Then the church where there is no unity, he can't do that. So it says, if Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because if you say that I cast out devils through Beelzebub, and if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges, because their sons who were cast out and were exercised. So if I'm using that power, then your sons are using the same power. It cannot be a different power. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out devils, know that the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man keepeth his palace, his goods are in peace. I'm reading through this because we're going somewhere else after all this. I just want you to understand the generation that he was living in. But when a stronger man, a stronger than he, shall come upon him and overcome, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. There's something there for us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you, right, than he that is where you are. So you are, the greater one is in you, so you can overcome Satan. You can spoil his goods. Believe you me, all this going for evangelism, you settle down and pray and say, Lord, every soul that you want me to talk to, every soul that you want me to minister to today, in the name of Jesus, I take that soul captive from Satan. I bind every activity, every satanic activity in that life, and I resist that life. You don't do it just 5 minutes into where you are going. It's something that you pray about. You pray about at night, not because you want a contract, but because you want souls to come out of that kingdom. By the time you go out to preach, you just see them listening to you. Why? You have already taken charge of that thing in the spirit. All you are now going to do is to physically take them out. The gate is open. Their hearts are open. You just physically go and take them out. You will talk to them for 5-10 minutes, you will see them weeping. Because you have gone anywhere in the spirit. That is the problem of this generation. We are fleshly, not spiritual. We talk more, but do less. Verse 23. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered. Have you seen the way the Lord Jesus describes it? If they are not gathering souls with him, what are you doing? Yes, not gathering them is as good as scattering them. Not bringing the church together is as good as scattering the church. You see your brother going astray. You don't talk to him. You are scattering the church. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest. Imagine, what was it that God wanted to give his children?
Rest.
What is this demon seeking?
Rest.
The demon was at rest in this level before it was cast out. After being cast out, what is he looking for now? He was still looking for that. That fellow was in a state of unrest because a demon was troubling him. Now the demon was troubling him, and the demon had rest. I don't know if you've had guests who snore, and when they snore, the place is shaking like now you are troubled by the snoring. But what is he doing? He's having fun. That's the situation of this man. The demon is relaxing and snoring and enjoying, but he has found his sense. The demon brings him his sofa. This is the people. Grabs a glass of champagne and sips and throws some peanuts into his mouth. But that man's life is what? in turmoil. Now he has been cast out. But what is he doing now? He's seeking this of this. And findeth none. And finding none, he says, I will return unto my house. He didn't say it, I don't actually. When that came out. I want you to see what happened to this generation. Many of us have been delivered on the power of sin. There will be absolutely nothing. When the demon left, he was looking for rest. And he discovered that, wait a minute, everywhere I go to, the kingdom has been preached. The finger of God is present. The kingdom is being established. So let's not give ourselves stress. Let's go back and see. And I can tell the opportunity. So he goes back. And when he cometh, verse 25, he findeth it swept and garnished, clean. Then goeth he and taketh to his seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. One of the things that many of us understand is that being born again is a process. It began the day you said, Jesus called me to my life, but it didn't end that day. Your ultimate salvation is when you get there. But while you are here on earth, you must walk constantly in the grace of God. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Go there, baby. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. There's something the Bible tells us in Romans 8, verse 29. Let's read it together. Want to go? What was God's plan on that scripture? What was God's plan? I'm asking a question.
To have many sons.
Yes, yes. How? To be conformed. In Romans 12, the Bible says, be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That transformation will bring you to conformity with the image of Christ. So everything that God seeks to do from the day you got born again was to bring you through transformation to conformity to the image of Christ. Another way of putting it is by saying, to bring you to have His nature. I heard you guys did something on holiness. The holiness of God is the nature of God. So if you are going to have that nature, you must be holy. That's why God said, be holy, for I am. It is not a hard thing to be holy. Otherwise, God would never have told you to be holy. If you have to understand why they are stiff-necked and uncircumcised, resisting the Holy Spirit. If you would not resist the Holy Spirit, you will be made holy. Give us 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, please. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Remember, those that He did predestinate, right? The Father, through what? Of what? Unto what? Obedience. You cannot be sanctified and be disobeying God. The very essence of sanctification is that you are obedient. What you couldn't do when you were not born again was to be obedient to the word of God, was to heed, to hearken to the word of God. But now that you have been born again, now that you have entered in, you have an advantage. You are now enrolled in a school where through the working of the Spirit of God in you, obedience becomes a nature which you never had. What was it that generation that Stephen was talking about, what was it that they were doing? They always was resistant. They couldn't obey the Holy Spirit. They couldn't obey God. It is this sanctification of the Spirit not obedient, because the Bible says Christ Himself was what? Obedient. He said, though He were a son, yet then He was obedient by the things that He suffered. There is not disobedience in that. Not even 1 inch, or not even not 1 hour of disobedience. Just like the Bible says, no liar. Oh, and there are many liars in the church. And I don't know why we tell us. No liar can enter into heaven. We lie to get money. We lie to get favor. We do all kinds of things. I will say one word, you cannot. We have a generation that is like this generation, because we have not learned from the history of that generation. Some will tell us to abandon the Old Testament completely. They want to sit with the New Testament. How can you start again with the New Testament? Again, at the beginning, as an end. So, as God is concerned, this Bible has given to us starts from Genesis and ends in Revelation. Where did we stop now? Verse. Now, let's go to verse 27. Well, I'm going back to Luke 11. Verse 27. And it came to pass, as he said these things, this is the church. A certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the parts which thou hast suffered. Say, ah! God blessed the mother that gave birth to this husband. The breast that he sucked, God blessed her. Don't come to church to hear the pastor. Come to church to hear the word of God. And do what it says. And look at verse 28. But he, that is Jesus, said, yeah, rather, blessed are they that what? Yeah. Hear the word of God and do what? Keep it. Remember what God told Saul. Has the Lord as much delight in the part of goats and cows and or cattle or whatever? Goats and oxen. What is that God delights in? Simply let me tell you that to obey is better than what? Because you have ignored my word, therefore I have also rejected. But he still calls Saul king. And then left 2 years in his kingship. Whenever I see one again, we're not going anywhere near. Unless something drastic happens. But when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek what? A sign. And there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The Lord said, an evil generation, what do? They seek a sign. They cannot believe without a sign. And let me tell you, even with the sign, they still do not believe. After they see the sign, it's a question. Let's look at the sign of Jonah, for example. Look, I've not heard people question. They say, what kind of fish? Some say it's a whale. They say, whale and big fish. How big is that fish that will swallow Jonah? Questions begin to come. Is that not true? Because the Bible says that we should not engage ourselves in all manner of foolish debates that don't edify, they don't take you anywhere. They ask very stupid questions. The God that made them cannot make a fish that has enough to swallow a human being and keep the human being alive in it. They have asked us without why it is a nature. Do you see the problem of the nature now? It doesn't matter what you do, as long as that nature is there, it becomes a problem. Verse 31, the queen of the south, queen of Sheba, shall rise up in judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, the greater than Solomon is here. Many of us, those who are here, say the end of Matakor is very far. This woman will stand against you. You said something recently. Said the location or venue is far only because the desires / interests is far from that location of them. If they are sharing money in money, and he said, you get there, you will get your own at least minimum 50,000. Will you not go? Will you not borrow money to go? Why? Because your desire and your interest is where? In money. We must question our desire and our interests. That's what God is saying. Were they interested in the world? No. They were just interested in the crowd. John the Baptist preached in the desert. How did the Bible describe the people who went there? He said the whole of Israel went out to meet him. This generation will complain about everything. Can the church not be by the main road? When your papa, ah, pastor, let's do some proofing. What do you want? Oh, let's get the hall. We get the hall. Huh? The people are not coming to the hall. We need another place where the windows can be open so that people can say, what do you want? If we get 10 children now and put tents, they say, that's what this place now. So bush, mosquitoes are biting us. We put you in the place where they're living, they come to sleep.
generation is this? The queen of Sheba heard about Solomon. She left. I mean, can you imagine a queen with a kingdom, leaving her kingdom in the hands of prince, a prime minister or something, not minding whether they will consider or not? I heard that there's one man who has wisdom, let him go hands. And the Bible says that not the issue of his splendor was a anasar. Because after all his fellows sat down with Solomon, the Bible says that he asked hard questions. And look, he greater than Solomon is there. And he can't ask him questions. I mean, of course, sit at Bible study. Say, Lord, this is me. And you press and press and press until you hear something. Then we are quick to pick all kinds of rubbish on social media and relay it, share. Pass on. But the real word of God, the people have to now put at the back. The real word of God is about 5 lines. But the urging to get you to share it is about the 100 lines. If you don't share something, so I sent this thing 5 years ago, a man saw it and ignored it, and the next thing I heard of it, he was dead. You must be a witch. You see this word, he shared it, he became an instant billionaire the next day. He's got the magician. All of that is to get you to share. And the ones that you have interest in, do you not share it? Does anybody like you? What is that saying? And they make it easy for you. Share. You just click share. The name that you just say, all. Oh. But when it's the word of God, you don't say all. Oh. You select. Who are you selecting that? The same people who have made the word. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Can you imagine how Jonah would have preached? Jonah would have said, Brethren, would say, men of Nineveh, I want you to know from the beginning of the city, we didn't get to the city and the beginning. Something dangerous is going to happen to you. God is coming to touch you people. Have I known that? Look at my body. I was just sat down by a fish. They believed. We are quailing the fish. Those men believed the fish. Because they didn't see any boat in heaven. And Jonah was there. At the edge of the sea, the fish. I was inside the belly's belly, inside the fish's belly, for 3 days and 3 nights. But I repented. Except you repent, you are doomed. Because at the edge of the city, the other day, the city center where the palace is, God spread to him. While he was still preaching, he didn't wait a night to make you think. While he was still preaching, the Ninevites ordered the fast to cover animals. How we tell you to fast? He said, Pastor, should our children also fast? Leave them to eat now. Why are you asking me that question? You don't know how to ask more. Whether your children should fast or not. I read in Joel, where God said, call the children assembly. The woman who is giving song, remove the baby from the song, let the baby pass, let the woman pass. Tell the bridegroom to come out of the chamber and the bride out, everybody fast. If we have a fast now, where we define things, we have the Daniel's fast. Say, I ask them to say that. If they eat this, they won't be with you. With the racist inside, they say it's from 12 and now we have fast and we break at 12, we break at 3. The typical fast is from dusk, dawn to dusk. When I say dawn to dusk, I'm not telling you asking you to be like our Muslim brothers who wake up at 4 5 a.m. to quickly eat before it's dawn. No. Your last meal would have been 11 p.m. the night before. So that if someone goes, you are supposed to be sleeping between 12 and 5 or 6. So as you are waking up, you fast continues. And ideally, a one day fast, you should be at home, you shouldn't be going anywhere, no office work. Stay at home. Sit down in the presence of God, study the word of God, sleep if you want to sleep, pray. One time they asked, the children of Israel asked God, should we fast? The way we fasted for 70 years because they had gone on Israel and said, you know, we used to fast on in Israel. Now that we are back from Israel, should we continue to fast that way? They asked the prophet to go and ask the prophet went around and God said, please ask them, the 70 years that they fasted, is it really the fast? I couldn't believe it.
They were fasting two times every year, 70 years, 140 fasts. And God said, not more. Can you imagine the fast we are fasting? Does God recognize them in your heart? What generation is this? No, they're not seeing anything. We do all the other, there's so much motion, but no movement. There's so much shaking, but nothing is happening. So much shouting, but nobody is hearing anything. Father 3, no man, when he had lighted a candle, put it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thy eye is single, thy whole body is also full of light. Who has the Bible there? Who has the Bible? Because I want us to read 33 to 36 in the Bible. Let me read this first. 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is also full of darkness. Take heed therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part that, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. Living by the light. From verse 33 to 36.
No one lights a lamp and hides it. Instead, he puts it on the lampstand to give light to all who enter the room. Your eyes light up your inward being. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. A lustful eye shuts out the light and plucks you into darkness.
First, you see two kinds of eyes now. What's the best eye? Pure. Talking of goodness. Right? The Bible says, Job said, I've made a covenant with my eye not to behold the things to lust after. What's the other eye now? A lustful eye. An eye full of strange desires. That's what it means. Full of strange desires. What does that eye allow into the heart? Darkness. It blocks it. When I want to come, what happens? It blanks it out. Continue with it.
So watch out that the sunshine isn't blotted out. If you are filled with light within, with no dark corners, then your face will be radiant too, as though a floodlight is beamed upon you.
That's what it says, right?
Yes.
Have you seen that description that is talking about? If your eye is pure, put differently, if your heart is pure, you will receive the sincere milk of the world. If not, even when it is coming, you will blot it out. So I don't want that. The same thing can be related in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower. The first three hearts, they blotted out the word, and so they couldn't grow. That's a generation that is not growing. Because the light they claim to have is indeed darkness. They have blotted it out. That is why they go to churches where they can hear what you want to hear. Let me ask a question. Do you know, although I think it's good to have this is, then do you know of any child who decides which school he or she goes to? Do you know of a child that decides the school? Who decides the school that the child goes to? The child doesn't know many people. It's until you get to, after secondary school, you can talk of university and you can have a choice. But as long as you can, you know, choose. To the school to go to. How is it that we are not the ones choosing church? Have we asked our Father where to worship? Where to go? But I would ask that people are going to keep up for themselves, teach us. Let's move quickly. Because there seems to be very important things. Now, 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him, and he went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before him. He just said, our heads. And the Lord said unto him, now, do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, that your inward parts is full of revenue and wickedness? Have you seen it?
You guys will focus on the next time.
That's what he said. You want to talk about, oh, how beautiful our church is, how wonderful our pastor is, how graceful he is, the environment is, the ambience is beautiful, isn't it? What's happening? What is happening in the pastor's heart? What's happening in your own heart? What's going on in there? That's what God wants us to do. What generation is this? It's a generation that focuses on externalities and the inner part is around. It's a generation of hypocrites. Because that's what hypocrites do. They focus more on the external than on the internal. They focus more on what people can see than what people can see. And yet, God sees all things. Verse 40. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? The people paint their homes every year. They paint the outside every year. The inside is filthy. But when you look at the house of God, it's so wow. Enter inside. You can't leave. There's one house that my wife and I went to pick somebody up in the US, came to visit. So we went to pick it from one house. As the door opened, the smell that hit us on one house, of all kinds of Nigerian soup in America was, can't look at him say, see our nostrils. I couldn't wait to get the house was damp, dark. They said they wanted to give us water. They said, no, we're not going to send you. They said, no. You don't know where anyone is coming up from. They said, no, we're just, we couldn't wait for the man to pack his bag and come. That's the problem with many of us. We dwell so much on externalities. And yet, there are inner things, big things that we don't focus on. But for the one, but rather, give alms of such things as ye have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees. For ye tithe meat and rue, and all manner of herbs, and Passover judgment, and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Let me explain this. Let me pause and say something on this scripture. The Lord Jesus did not say that we shouldn't have. Understand that very well. What he was complaining about was that they were tithing on every single thing, focused so much on tithing, and the weightier matters of the law, justice, love, mercy, kindness to their fellow brothers, they did not do it. Your tithing is useless. By the way, as an aside, some of us were so wicked. I'm not talking about just those of us in this assembly. In many assemblies, your tithe has come. You are worshiping in a particular place. You have that you pay, you won't pay in that place. You say, I want to send my tithe to hand. That my brother's church is suffering. Let me send tithe to my brother's church. No. You gave them a gift. You are still owing them. Do you understand that? You can't. They go to that church. The tithe belongs to God, and God has given it to the fellow who heads that local assembly. So if you feel, for any reason, that you want to bless the local assembly, what you have given them is what? A gift. You can't give your tithe to that local assembly. You can give a gift, but you can't give your tithe. The tithe, by the way, does not belong to you. Whose is the tithe? Your tithe. This is the church where you, the local assembly where you worship. That you are free to give. So what do we do? You say it's very easy to give somebody else's thing. In one church, I heard the story. A preacher went to that church, wanted to take off. He said, we are going to take off differently today. Each person, put your hand in the pocket of the man next to you. And give your offering from his pocket. Guess what happened that day? The offering was not attendance. Why? It wasn't their money. It is easy to give somebody else's money than your own money. That's why we take God's money and say, I'm going to give tithe to this church. Is it your money? Is that what God told you to tithe? That's what we're doing. So, by the way, if you have given tithe to your tithe elsewhere, you give a gift. Their own tithe. And those who pay their tithe here, better tell them that what they did here was a gift. You should not pay your tithe in the church. Enough of this convenient Christianity that they do. When the pastor talks about church, I heard he come for money. Meanwhile, the man is shouting money. Let him wake up on Monday morning and ask him, please, what's it? What are you doing? See, you never believe the Bible said I'd like you to listen because there's a business transaction. The Lord understands. We need money for the gospel. That one is good news. Let him get that money. You people see him in the church. Let alone give towards the gospel. You give the tithe and say, I'm giving. The tithe belongs to the man of God. It doesn't belong to maintaining the church building. Maintaining the church building is a different one. It's for the pastor to use to take care of the needs in the church, human beings. Not the physical structure you will contribute. In the book of Exodus, did you hear God say, tell them to bring you all the time that you might build the tabernacle? What did he say? He said, take an offering from every land that is building. I want to build the tabernacle. What do you use to build the tabernacle? We have a generation that doesn't see things that way. For your information, the 90% also belongs to them. The Bible says, after you have done your duty, what should you say? See, we are profitable servants. We have done that duty. You haven't done 10 when you say that. You haven't done anything. Some of us will give that, and then when it comes to giving up, then. What is with you? They are ashamed of God. He said, no, the Bible says, don't let your left hand know what you are doing in the land. Tell him to move his hand, it's 5 minutes. But that man will walk out here and stop by my mother's place and pick up a bottle of how much is the person or how much is it now?
79.
He will come to you when he was offering. Anyway, he was supposed to get excited. He came and made the village less difficult. But for the priest, who wants to you, Pharisees? For you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Who unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites? For ye are graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. They are like concealed tombs, as we say, unmarked graves. Nobody knows that. That is a grave. If you go to a place and you are walking, this is what I say, they bury somebody there. What do you do? No, you put in your head. He says, people don't even know that. We are walking in the place. So the Jews feel they don't know that they are wicked men, that they are in the midst of racists, that they are in the midst of murderers, they are in the midst of thieves, they are in the midst of the worst kind of criminals. Why? Because the title is pastor, bishop, cardinal. They don't know that they are working with homosexuals, that they are working with pedophiles. You can't trust your child with them. What generation is this? Who has said that? That you have to be careful who is the children's teacher. Because you can bring your daughter. A 5-year-old girl, I can't stand anything like this. A full grown man of 40 something. And the way parents bless their daughter this day, I wonder what's wrong with her. How do you bless a child as though she's a full grown woman? And when girls develop now, by age 10, age 11, they are sprouting tiny, tiny breasts. And then you not bless her as if she's a young lady. Thank you very much. The meaning is, he says, it's a small girl. It's not a small girl. That's the Pharisees talking to us. He says, the men that walk over them are not aware that they are walking on top of the graves of the dead. Verse 45. Now, listen to this. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus say, thou reproachest us also. Do you understand? What is happening? Let's look at some other translations for that verse 45.
Then one of the lawyers answered and said to him, Teacher, by saying these things, you reproach us also.
Yeah. Another translation. I want to hear a translation. Amplified, give us.
One of the experts in
one of the world
experts in the Mosaic law answered
expert in what?
Yes, the law. Answered him, Teacher, in saying this, you are reproaching and afraid and affront even us.
Good. Okay, let's give it back.
Give it back.
Scribe, saying, an expert in religious law who was standing there, you have insulted my profession too. In what you just said.
Have you seen that? What is being protected there now? His profession. An expert of the law.
Yes.
By one of the religious scholars who said, do you realize that they say this thing is
insulting? They are not being insulted. Message. Oh, is that the message? NIV. Is it the same thing?
One of the experts in the law asked, teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also.
Can I inform you that? NIV. Okay. One of the things about the gospel is that it insults people. No matter how much you try to be careful, you will insult somebody's religion. The man expected the Pharisees to be insulted. You know what? Let me tell you what this expert said. This expert, these lawyers, these scribes, these were the people who interpreted the law. And then the Pharisees performed and made sure that the law was obeyed. So they were saying that in what you are saying, you are making us insult you. They are the ones who actually interpret the law of Moses. They are the experts who understand the law. And by what you are saying, you have insulted us. I thought they would say you have insulted the law. Did they say that, sir? They said they have insulted. And he said, woe unto you also, ye lawyers. You see, before he wasn't mentioning them, now they brought themselves into the line like that. Woe unto you also, ye lawyers. For you led men with burdens grievous to be born, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. You give men all kinds of assignments to do, which we will never do. And also said, my father walked here and I also watched. There were a generation today where only a few people are walking. Somebody they saw the ones and said in the church. Only 1% out of everybody is in the world. And those who come to church to sit down, and those who come to church to complain, and those who all kinds of things, that they really walk, only 1% in any church. And in class, we have visits, excuses. That's the mission we find ourselves in. Remember once, I was sharing with a group here, and then like Moses asked the question that something about, is it not that it's just because it's your own generation that things have changed?
Yes. Okay.
What has changed? Is it not the same thing? It's not the same thing. It is the human nature that has not changed. Human nature hates that thing. And like Moses wants to be seen as another. So when he enters the bus, he enters the bus with a swirl. That's how he goes to the bus. When we enter the bus, we pursue. Said, I'm telling with one leg. That's how we pursue. But now everybody wants dignity. In entering the bus, swirl a little bit. When we did it, I didn't find bus that he did that. It's dignity. That made it not come. If he was early, he would be pursuing the boss until he grabs it and the head. 47. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Have you seen it? The father did the mother, the sons built it to me. And the father were doing the prophets good. He said, what you have done now, the thing that you have done now, is to show that what your fathers did to an agreement. Because you are now finished the work. Truly, verse 48, ye bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers. For they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. Therefore, also said, the wisdom of God, who is the wisdom of God, dies. I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world will be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation.
Did you know that those of us who are assaulting prophets and pastors, that we will give account of the blood of David? Everyone, every servant of God has been killed. For killing one, you will give account from Eden. Till the one that other people killed, you will also, because you came back to that end. By doing that, what did you do? You empower the next generation to do it. 52. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in the hindered. Tell me about this. Do you know that at the time that people here used to complain, oh pastor, we don't know what happened, we're not doing ourselves, we are not doing it. What do you want to do? Tell me what you want to do about it. You want us to bring people into the church and for them to become twice as much Satan as we are. Have you learned only holiness? Are you walking in righteousness? You want to bring somebody in and then teach the fellow how unholy you are walking. I say that's the right way to walk. I would rather we attend and we get ourselves to the place of purity. That when somebody wants to say this, that's the truth. And we follow. He will offer you. Being in our midst, he himself will become, will know that this is the way to walk. When we go to many churches, those people to many churches and see the way they do. It was one of two people who started to just take it. A 10-person journey, a 12-person, a 15-person journey. Nobody complained. What happened to every other person? Two young ladies in a particular church who had been prostitutes before came to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and became one of them. Because they were prostitutes, the only kind of clothes they had were flimsy clothes. And they couldn't be prostitutes again. So they believed God for jobs. So that they can, but he was this sister and said, you have had so, what is this sister? So they designed to dress like that sister. And they didn't have the money yet, so they were wearing what they had. One day, the service, hair and short skirts, body bodies, king vision. They don't need to say, we are trying to be like you, and you are getting into what we are trying to get out of. See this work. You walk on your own. Follow somebody, you can follow that person into it. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Why? Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. That was all they were interested in. How to accuse him. So let's conclude by looking at a few small scriptures. What generation is this? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 to 4. Let's see our own generation now. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. What generation we are in now? The ones who are departing from the faith. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. That's the generation we have. Many of us are being seduced. Adam and get power. Nobody is testing this. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, I believe it is. He says, test every spirit, prove every spirit if they be false prophets or antichrist have gone out in the world. But we don't just say, when that man says this, it didn't happen. That's all. So what we do, we have right access to that peace. It didn't happen. I think I mentioned last week that OPM is not a church. To be a charitable organization, to be a wealthy organization, that it is not a church. We want to give gifts, no problem. That's not what we mentioned. When we give gifts in church, we don't allow anybody to give life, to do good. Why do you think they are doing that? Why do you think, let me just ask a question randomly, why do you think they talk about who they are giving things to? To bring more people. Can you give all those people what you are giving to them? The foolish people will go there. Because you were never looking for God in the first place. What were they interested in? Their benefit. Nothing but them. Nothing but them. Verse 2. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving, of them which believe and know the truth. Now, someone told me that based on this scripture, we can eat anything. Not a problem. But the Bible says it is the meat and God that God has commanded. The one that God created that we should eat. Then if you say you like to eat meat, it's okay. Don't eat any meat. Don't put it in soup or meat. But whatever you want to do, you can't believe of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. I don't believe this thing. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. As they will grow about it, they will grow about those things. What generation is this? 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall. For men shall be what? Lovers of their own. This is the generation they love themselves. That's why selfies. You know, they now have a selfie pool. Yeah, they have a selfie stick. Do you have it?
No.
And I'm sure they carry it in their bag. And click. Lovers of themselves. That's why you put this back so that you can show your foolishness for the whole world to see on YouTube. Covetous. What does it mean to be covetous? Lovers of money. That's what it means. Again, lovers of money. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, as homosexuals. Truth breakers, they enter into a contract only to break that contract. When they were signing that contract, they knew they were going to be formed, and they signed it anyway. And now when you meet the lawyer, look for a new code. They take us to court. They would rather spend money on a lawyer than do the right thing. That's their nature. They are wicked men. They are evil men. False accusers. You know, it's amazing. When I read some things on Twitter, written by Christians, they talk about anti-corruption. And it is the Christians whose voices are the loudest in Jesus. What are the corruption? It's too passion. The question we should ask is, did they steal? They say, no, what of the other people? Did this one steal? I say, it's the one that we can catch. Leave the other ones, we will catch them eventually. But let's do this one first. No. People are quick. When somebody said something somewhere that they're taking bribe to court on something or what? Something as a problem. The fact that it's a news headline that somebody will face a Christian. That's what they're saying. What do you put on the Christian? What do you put on the Christian? Should we not be ashamed that we have someone who was a Christian as a president and such monies were stolen on his watch? Shouldn't we keep our mouth hidden? A president that the chairman of CAN, the president of CAN, was virtually living in Asoro. Was involved in transporting billions of dollars out for arms in his aircraft. If war breaks out in Nigeria, it is Christians who cause it. This Biafra. I hear there is a team of pastors who are praying for their tribalization. It's something wrong with us. Do you see what they're saying now? What generation is this? Are they listening to God? When Israel was freed from the oppression of Babylon, who freed Israel? Yes. But who did God use to free Israel? Israel. Who was Cyrus?
I love the name.
The hidden king. Why did God look for a Jew to free them?
No.
That's part of the problem I get, I mean. But God can use anybody. Anybody. I hate to hear that in our brother. Your brother, which brother? What did he do for you? The stone and the covenant. Look at the holy man for how many years? Those are wonderful opportunities to do something for the people. I'm not saying go and dash money, go and clean the place up. Then the demon comes to clean it up. And we are shouting this. I'm not a politician, I don't care about politics. But I think we can tell the system. Is it right for us to encourage stealing in our government? I'm asking a question. Can anybody explain to me why Bayelsa State, where per capita, they are the richest state per capita because their population is the least, why they are not paying salaries for 5-6 months? Can somebody explain to me?
and it is okay. When you talk, you say, I recognize the Muslim. But what did he do when they gave him the love of level 3, level 1 to 9, full pay. Level 10 to the other, half pay. Was he not paying for something?
Yeah.
How can a man keep somebody's life for 6 and you expect him to go to work? What can he do? For 6 months, and I heard him on radio, making noise, if you don't go to work, I go, what can you do? Why do they work now? And somebody asked him on that radio, Excellency, have you completed your salary? He said, I don't know whether they have you been paid salary? And you're not paying small people. And what do some of the most teachers? Do you see the problem we have? The people who educate our children and must not be paid. Sometimes I think it's a conspiracy to get people to go to private schools of which they are contributors. Why must public education? I went to public school. Why must public education suffer? What nation is this? And when you go and you look at the people who are involved in this thing, if you go to open your eyes to see churches, you'll be aware of those churches. If you have access on Twitter, go to Twitter and click, just click on search of Gino Melani. Every Sunday, you will see what you will see there about God. That he is considered a fork, rascal, in the sense. Who are the people representing the believers? These are the people who say that. Because as long as you're a Christian, I don't care what perspective you are from, you represent every Christian. The Muslims, have you seen one northerner shout to their brother that they are exposing anybody? They are ashamed that the Muslim would be a type of solo soldier. Have you seen one Muslim, one, who said they are going to go to court to get Dasuki out? Have you seen one Muslim?
No.
Even from Sokoto, where Dasuki is from, have you seen one? Then we are the ones making this everywhere. There are 16-year-olds in Bangkok this world who just walked from one junction to the other junction to collect exercise to police granted because their parents could not pay their Bangkok this. For 4 years, not one lawyer has gone to defend them. Then you heard that the man stole 400 million. You're quick. What are you defending? 400 million. Because you're going to want to slap that man. You see the Christians. You see the Christians. You see why? Nobody respects you. You can't tell an unbeliever, you don't do that. Because the same Twitter, they are on it. They are on Facebook. They are our friends. They see what you do. They know that there's no conviction in you, there's nothing in you. Your nature is a nature. A woman said to her husband, you will go to hell. The man said, and you will be dead. I abuse the abuse. I mean, that's just about it. I lie, you lie. You are even worse than a hypocrite. You go to church and never see that the best person is best. Me, when I go to church, everybody knows that this one is a sinner and a sinner. I agree. So why would I go to hell and you not go there? God must be unjust. But that's the truth. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You despise good people. Somebody said to me, I don't know what that Shiva is doing there. A country needs a vice president. You better believe this. So what is he doing there? Nobody's even paying attention to him. Does that concern you? Are you the president? If you want Shiva to be useful, go and run for presidency and make him your vice president and then surrender everything to him and then you want to have you? He's a vice president, he's doing something reasonable. He's doing his work there. I don't know why we think in a country. Look, let's understand something. Nigeria is a multi-religious nation. And I hate this trumping of anyone, including this one. I hate it. As far as I'm concerned, if you need the government to give you money to go and build village, there's something wrong with you and your government. Build village is like all of us going to a church to collect money to come to church. Then there's something wrong with you. The man giving you the money and you got their good service. Not because Muslims have been given money, Christians to solve their Christians for progress for. And do you know how much money they steal? And you ask, what's the criteria for even choosing the people who go there? Now I hear that the Christian Children's Board is taking people and one of the things that matters is that they are going to do training in this and that, in this way. Is that what you do? Now they want to extend pilgrimage from Israel and they are going to Greece and going to Egypt.
That's where people will just escape here and you never see them. Besides the ticket, man. Besides the ticket they give you, they are supposed to give you $5,000 spending money. They will give you $1,000. Yeah, that's it. The $4,000 enters the pocket of the world. And they are Christians. They are Christians. You see why people are talking to the secretary to raise God. Member to raise God. Doing all to my God.
Yes.
Now we are hearing of postings. They are posting this one to a juicy church. Posting on to a juicy church. And the man in a village church is doing the juice. But the man is not to bring what is
posting.
What kind of generation is this?
Yes.
Number 4. Traitors. Heavy. High minded. Lovers of what? Yes. Flesh of more than lovers of. That's why we have entertainment in church. We love pleasure more than God. You say, well, let's, you know, the only way we come through is through spirits. So let's laugh in it and break commitments. Now we have gospel commitments. And they receive our word. And they make jokes of God.
On the altar.
And the pastor is sitting in front. Listen up his head. Let's laugh. Lovers of pleasure, but that's the generation. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness. But what? Denying the power there. What does this mean? They have to see there is a power of godliness. The power of godliness enables you to be godly. Enables you to be holy. Enables you to do what is right. That's the power of godliness. And you don't have to God get it. How do we see the form? Says speaking Christianity, it's still as true.
It's well.
Wearing white and white. Put to the cross. You know that she's
in the past, I'm sorry,
like candles for
them.
Now we now have all kinds of fires. So, all kinds of things. That's the same. A form of godliness. How come now they go to the devotees? It doesn't, they want some way, one of them to obey them. My sister, wait, which one away they go to? She in that church room. Where yeah, is his head? And his shoes. And your auntie and your church. And spaghetti, or by whose sort. That's what you are going to do. Where is that going to be, right? You got something to do. Then the brothers, I want one. The cigarette in the hand and the bottle of something. And so they are, I hope none of you are doing that. Thank you. Find any brother who likes to give sweet a lot. When the sweet has worn down, go and just stand near them. You smell some things. The bottle of something has come in. You see, you lie. For thy, you see, don't complete it. For thy often infirmity. Are you infirm?
No.
And is it often?
No.
Let's not be good, this is just happy to justify drunkenness. The Bible says, it says to the world, it says, give something to those who have kings. It says, give it to those who are in this world. So that they can drink and forget the sensations. If you are a child of God, you are a king. Drink is not. And then somebody says, where did you have told you what it is? But let's even assume that you want to have me that I will tell you. If the Spirit of God is in you, you cannot mix another spirit into the last. The Bible says, be ye filled, be not filled, be not drunk with wine. Right? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I will show you scriptures. He says, from salt, what do you do? The many of us, those are the churches we have. Look at verse 6. He says, for of this salt are they which do what? Creep. They don't walk in. Creep into houses and lead captive silly women who themselves are laden with what? Sins. Led away with diverse lusts. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the
truth.
What generation is this?
Chapter 4, from verse 1. I shall speak therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Do what?
Preach.
What does it mean to preach? To declare, to proclaim, to announce the word of God. If you say preach, what does those in the preach? What are these people then and then in this time? Preach what? Preach network marketing. Preach what? Prosperity. What else do you teach? What else do they preach now?
Marriage.
What else do they preach? They preach many things. Yeah. Success and so on. Preach what? The word. Who is the word?
The Lord Jesus.
You must always preach Christ.
Preach the word.
Some preach the word. Be instant in season out of reproof. Is that your Bible?
Yes.
Rebuke. You see those two things before exhort. Yes, sir.
That's
what somebody needs. Did she miss?
No, she didn't.
She was scared.
Oh.
I heard about somebody to one church, to go on the church, who taught them how to bring their unique.
That's very heavy. I didn't want to
buy it. Yeah, you want to work. And I'm sure this time to you. You know, we need to pray for the church. We need to pray for church leaders. There's a problem with the body. If you see a man that is very big, do you believe that man is healthy? You know he has a problem. The church is so flabby, no muscles. We have no spiritual muscle. We're just flabby, obese. It reminds me of those women in Lagos who sell hookah food. They just sit down, they can't move, they say there is wrong girl who run around and they're selling the thing. They are so good at that church. They are motionless and rotund, selling hookah food. And some people are running around using the hookah food. Wrapped around a dirty rack that they clean everything up. The stew is stealing everything. That's the church. Rebuke, exhort. See those two things before exhortation. You must reprove, you must rebuke. Convict them, bring them to the place of conviction that what they are doing is wrong. Then you can exhort, encourage. With all but long suffering and doctrine. Why is he saying that? He says, for the time will come. And I say the time when they will not endure sound. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having what? Teaching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Let me ask you a question. Are these only come from the people that Stephen spoke about? Who turned away from the truth? Turned on to something else. You can read the whole of that down to verse 10. In verse 10, what does it say? Look at verse 10. Let's read verse 10 together. Please give us. Can we all read together? One, two, go.
We have to have a family. And we this present world. And it's divided from the tabernacle.
Stop there.
Oh.
Do you know where we saw Demas? We saw Demas in some other books. Where, what was he doing with Demas there? He said, Demas sent greetings. Look at that, I can be Demas. Serving God today. And the time will come when maybe we see the end, some 5 years on the side. Then, where's the other super house?
Yes, has it. Having loved this president.
No, I'm not saying the end. I said, you see the end, ask the end for the help. Oh, you see me? And you ask for one brother, or one sister. And you see that too. So, what was special so to her? Lord, let's just be interceding for her. She has departed. Have you loved this president? Beloved, let me lose. Like we said last week, you don't have to do what others in the generation have to do, even though you are in that
situation. When we talk about the two between the poor of the rich, that even if they were free, that even they are important to him, and they can then come home also. And that may also be some of their
nakedness. They are people who draw ladies, other things, draw men, so that they can gain advantage.
Wow.
Beloved, in that generation, God will single out Caleb. And instead of thinking of them, particularly Caleb, he said, he had another spirit. That was what made the difference. That spirit. What spirit are we talking about now? The spirit of God. It was that spirit that made the difference in Caleb and Joshua. It is that spirit, if you allow him, that will make the difference in the world. Because what we are seeing of this generation is the nature of the flesh. Very quickly, give us Galatians 5. 16, 17, first of all, 16 and 17, first of all. Then we'll go to 19. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. This I say then, do what? Walk in his mind, he shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Pause. If you are walking in spirit, you allow the Spirit of God to do his work in you. You may be living in this generation, but you will not be of this generation.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord says, you are of this, you are in the world, but not of the world. The difference is what? Walk in the spirit. And shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh does what? Let's have a grand translation of that. Verse 17. Different translations, please. So that we can understand. Because this flesh lusteth against the spirit. And the spirit, when you see the spirit against the man, the spirit is lusting. So we want to understand what that lust is.
The desire of the flesh that opposed to the body
is what way? The desire of the flesh is what? Opposed! Continue.
And the desire of the spirit and opposed to the flesh.
That's what. Do you see that? What is calling us here is what? The desire, what the Spirit of God wants, is not what the flesh wants. What the flesh wants is not what the Spirit of God wants. Yes, Bradley.
For what the...
That's Living Bible.
The Living Bible. Mm-hmm. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the
I want you to know that word, opposed. It's a very strong word. Which is that? NIV, read it.
For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit.
Contrary to you.
And the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh.
Okay, give them the illusion that message.
For there is a root of sinful self-interest in us that is at odds with the Spirit.
Which there is a root of what?
Sinful
self-interest. That is what?
Self-interest that is at odds with
that is at odds
with the Spirit.
We are not guided. And
just as the sweet spirit is incompatible with self-interest,
they can't mix. I gave a description once, think twice, I'll give that description. Where, and I think I showed it in the where you have a man, they become this, then you come. This is me, right? David is a very awesome. Right? The flesh. Yeah, is the spirit. Then somebody just introduced her. I love David very, very much.
And now,
I'm getting into a relationship with this new spirit.
Now, because
I love this one and I love this one, what do I want to do?
I want to make them friends. We want to work together.
Very, very wrong.
This one is this one. This one is that one. So while David is taking me this way, go in that direction. What's the end of it? Do you see the problem we're having now? So at some point, what must I do? I must decide which one I'm going to leave and which one I'm going to go. Walking in the spirit, you will not fulfill your desires.
They are dragging across. They can never be,
they're not happy about the good for him. It doesn't work. Remember what we said about that generation last week? They do err in their heart. If God says go right, where do they go? Why do you think they are going there? Because they are walking according to the flesh, but not agreeing with the spirit. If God says go front, where will they go? Because of what is influencing them. There's one translation that talks about the influence of the spirit. I don't think we have that translation now. Now, go to verse 24 and 25. I'm not talking about the works now. Let's read together. One to go. And what is the desire of the flesh? With the affection of the Lord.
They that are Christ, what are they
doing? Let me ask you a question. Because I've always had that issue with this word crucified. Many pastors have taught us that you can only be crucified. You can pacify it. You can, you know, keep it that way. You can never really keep it. So let me ask you a question. When Christ was crucified, was he pacified?
No.
What did they do to him?
Yeah.
And what does crucifixion mean? So is this crucified, does it mean different from the one that Christ went through?
No.
So it's the same thing. So let's remove this. And let's use the word today. Now, and they that are
Christ
have done what?
Killed the flesh.
They have murdered it. And what is affections? What does that mean? Yes, what does it mean to crucify the flesh? You know, I've given you that illustration before. When I used to do, no matter how well my wife puts that soup, I've been crucified. I have been crucified to you. You see, you and I, we have respect for one another. Who stays is on the island? It's nice. Put all the things you want to put in that soup. You are not going to get my finger to even touch. So, let me put it there. And Brother Abraham has crucified Fufu. And the affections of
the
character.
And
his name. Forget about his name. You see, what I'm saying is, if you like the best suit, those are the affections. If you are saying this suit goes well with you, and you won't catch me eating that. That's what I'm saying. But you must hate the flesh so much that you're ready. I'm not saying go and cut yourself.
No way.
The flesh you're talking about is a desire. For what God does not desire. Do you understand? For example, I'm chasing a business contract. If God desires me to have that contract, then I will do what is needed. And I'm not going to say I'm going to pursue it. If that contract is not what God wants me to have, and I'm chasing after it, then I'm not crucifying the flesh. Because I'm not chasing after what the flesh desires. Now, many pastors have taught us that money is needed for the gospel. I have no doubt about that. But nowhere is it told, are we told, to seek after money for the gospel. Seek ye first the kingdom. Jesus said, seek first the money, and then you get the kingdom. They said, seek first what? The kingdom and all these things that the Gentiles are running after will be added. And then the next one says what? If, let's read it, they want to go.
If you believe in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
What does that mean? Let's read it from the last one. It seems to be a strange word. Is that not so? If you say we are living in the spirit, let's walk. If you are living in the spirit, you are not walking in the spirit. Good. So let's understand what it says. Translation of Jesus.
And I do.
Good.
Since we live by the spirit, let us put in step in the spirit.
Good. Since we claim to live by the spirit, I'm using the word claim now.
Let us walk in step.
If you say you are living by the spirit, then walk in step. Which other translation? Message.
This is the kind of life we have chosen. The life of the spirit. Let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our head or a sentiment in our hand, but work out its application in every detail of our mind.
In every detail. Yes, Father. Dismissed. Hey, I read it from the mission.
And I don't
know. What verse did he say? Just it. No, go on.
24.
What do you see there? What's the next verse that you see?
Verse
18 to what did he say?
Verse 18.
Read it.
When you are guided by the Spirit.
No. Go further down.
Now you, my friends, are children of the promise like Isaac. But just as at that time.
Give it to me. Is it 24? 25? If we are living now by the Holy Spirit,
by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit.
Okay, read it from 24 now.
Okay. Those who belong to Christ have nailed their natural evil desires.
They are done what?
The same way Christ was nailed to the cross, they have nailed it.
When you nail something down, not only have you killed it, you have pinned it. It can't come out of you. Continue.
They have nailed their natural evil desires to his cross and crucify them there.
Mm-hmm.
If we are living now by the Holy Spirit's power, let us follow the Holy Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.
There are many of us who have the form of godliness that deny the power. So we claim to be leading by the power of the Holy Spirit, and yet we are not walking in step with that Spirit. How is that possible? What translation is that? Amplified. Verse 25.
If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in life. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit.
Our conduct what? Controlled. The most important thing is that we should come under the influence. Enough of, I'm in the Spirit, and yet, the influence, what is influencing you, is the flesh. Do you understand that now? That's why I say, if we live in it, if we claim that we are really living in the Spirit, then let us also walk in the Spirit. Why is it that people who say they are living in the Spirit are walking according to the flesh? Isn't that a contradiction? Yes. And I want us to talk to them. We're living in a very, very strange time when majority is carrying the boat. The level of lies amongst Christians is shocking. The level of hypocrisy is astounding. The focus on externalities is so great. And we think that God does not see what is happening on the inside. And yet God sees. We need to understand the generation that we are living in. To know that this is a generation that always does err in the heart. That this is a generation that is unbroken. This is a generation that is uncircumcised in heart and ear. This is a generation that always resists the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't be like them. They said to you, but I'm also a Christian. And my pastor doesn't say anything wrong in what you are doing. In fact, he says, you need to look nice, otherwise the men will not look at you. So you go to church to be looked at by men. Our pastor says that if you want to do business, you have to be very wise and crafty. You cannot just give away things. You need to do business the way the world does business.
You can't follow that, brothers. You must follow what God wants you to follow.
Remember Dennis that day, when he said they were looking for death to come, I said, show mercy on the debtors. Because we ourselves are debtors. And we were forgiven. So yes, they asked you to go and pursue debtors. Show mercy to them. One of the men who signed the debt and are now sitting in their back offices are telling them to go and pursue those debts.
Reverend, let's talk to the Lord to help us.
We need the spirit that Caleb had. That different spirit. It was all different at that time because it was uncommon. Today we know that spirit to be the Holy Spirit. Sadly, the Holy Spirit has become so common that we just take it for granted. We just walk as we like. We do as we like. And yet we say, we are walking by the Spirit. Rather than by our conduct, it must be clear that we are being controlled by the Spirit of God. Who controlled that tweet that you sent us? Who dictated that Facebook post that you made? That Instagram selfie that you took? Who was controlling it? Like I'm only saying, those programs we have in our churches, where we are beginning to teach our women to dress like prostitutes, who ordered them? Those business seminars that we are having in our churches, that is teaching us on how to make more money than the world, who is in charge of that seminar? Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Every error in our hearts must be expunged. Every hardness of heart by reason of the deceitfulness of sin. I mean, it's amazing how people are explaining sin now. I heard one fellow who said there is fornication and there is fornication. One is porn, the other is fornication. And I don't understand what the difference is anyway. But they try to make it like it is the difference in fornication and fornication, brothers and sisters. When we can no longer endure the truth, we look for how to twist it to favor ourselves. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. Have we become a part of this evil generation? This wicked generation? Are we practicing wickedness and evil? Are our thoughts of the Word of God in error? Talk to the Lord, brethren.